Welcome to the Certainty Advice Podcast, where everything we do starts with an alignment to Australia's first accredited standard of conflict-free advice, which ensures we are truly focused on helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, everybody. Jim Stackpool from Certainty Advice Group with another podcast in our Certainty series where we aim to help as many Australians as possible get access and understand, identify what is valuable financial advice, which is truly in their best interests and not in any way conflicted by any products that are recommended, any specific processes, platforms, or hours worked in fact. Our Certainty advisors all over Australia follow Australia's national standard of advice, first one of its type. Which has been accredited and verified by ACCC and IP Australia. And we double-check the standards of all advice that's going out, knowing that anyone seeing a Certainty advisor from any part of the country can be assured of this consistent, standard, but unique approach. So today's topic is this 3 years on, the rise and fall, or fall, I should say, probably, of financial advice since the Royal Commission. It's been 3 years since the announcement of that Royal Commission into banking and financial services. And even more so in these days when we're running a COVID-constrained global economy. Some might say that Western Australia is a bit immune from that, very good control of case management. But we can't in any way think that rising unemployment, high government debt, we're getting some quarrels going on with China. In fact, the newspapers today are predicting that there's a group trying to take the 2022 Winter Olympics from Beijing. There's going to be some challenges ahead globally and locally. At sectors obviously like universities and tourism and entertainment are in some form of quicksand, to us to speak. And whilst resources and agriculture are still quite strong, and we're not even considering or probably could guess what some of the mental anguish and grief that's concerned those who have been directly affected maybe now or even longer term. So in the midst of all this radical change, it's logical to look to what has been now the effect of the Royal Commission when Australians need advice probably like never before. So I'm lucky to have Travis Martin and Dieter Torte, who are both principals with Monument Advisory, based alongside the wonderful Kings Park. I reckon that Kings Park is one of the best and hilliest running parks in Australia, located there in West Perth. But Monument Advisory is a classic advisory firm. It's providing comprehensive advice to growing families and businesses, not dissimilar to the firm that Travis and Dieter are heading. Key things to listen for as you listen is the extent of the renovations that are affecting all advisory firms due to a lot of the quick responses in the last 3 years from a compliance nature and how these firms have to now run. But also listen for despite that heavy compliance, why Australians still are confused about advice and product, even though some big headlines have been occurred since that Royal Commission. And still firms, unfortunately, put out documentation where the fine print is still, unfortunately, very important and needs to be sought out and read. Anyway, but listen, I started by asking, what's the benefit for Australians now 3 years on?
That it started to break down the vertical integration within the industry where product manufacturers own the advice arms of businesses, at least to an extent where it was kind of previously hidden, I suppose.
And what's the benefits of that for regular Australians?
Well, ultimately, that will lead to better advice outcomes. I think if you look back historically at where things have gone wrong in the advice industry, you know, there's been the, I suppose, commission side of things, and also that vertical integration is where a lot of the systemic kind of issues have occurred.
And I think removing that conflict, a vertical integration is a conflict that doesn't need to exist. You know, the people who manufacture the products don't have to be the people that provide the advice. And history has shown the Royal Commission certainly highlighted that a lot of the issues came about because that product was dressed up as advice. And you know, the Royal Commission has brought that to the forefront, I suppose, looking at the critical analysis of that. Certainly it is going on, and if it's a step in the right direction towards, you know, separating product and advice, surely the advice outcomes are going to be better, and therefore the public is going to be better off.
And Australians still confused between product and advice?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think, like most things in life, we're all hardwired to spy. We've got a problem, we want to find a quick solution to it. We've got a medical problem, we want to find a pill that's going to fix the medical problem. We've got a financial problem, we want to find a product that fixes that financial problem. I think, it is difficult sometimes to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. In the 3 years since the announcement of the Royal Commission, who have been the winners and losers?
Oh, look, I would certainly say advice businesses at this point have been the substantial losers with regards to increased compliance costs and insurances and so forth. I think there's been a real, I struggle to see how those have been of any benefit to the consumers.
And in fact, it seems to have increased the red tape across the board for all firms, whether they were well ahead of the changes that the Royal Commission was bringing in, or actually were they caught in the net of the Royal Commission. That's a fair statement, do you believe?
Yeah.
So who have been the winners then?
It's probably a hard one to say, Jim. I think the winners, the real winners, probably in my eyes, have yet to emerge. I think we're on the right path that, advisors who, are prepared to do it a certain way, will eventually sort of become winners out of this. And I think, clients who are willing to turn to true advice, to real advice, rather than just product advice, are going to be the winners. But I think it's early days yet, and I think those wins are happening. They're happening, but they're happening in small numbers at this point. I think we've got a big raft of losers. The big institutions, the big banks in particular, clearly are the losers. But also, they were the ones that caused, or at the centre of a lot of the problems that were brought to a head from the Royal Commission. Clear winners are yet to emerge.
Are you surprised by the progress that over 3 years that has been made or that has occurred in the marketplace since the Royal Commission?
I'm surprised by the lack of progress.
Okay.
I think going into this, we all sort of threw around our own predictions about what we thought would happen or what we hoped would happen, rather is a better way to put it. And then getting that separation of product and advice is certainly one of my strong hopes as you went through this. But it doesn't seem to have had much traction on the way out. Yeah, there's been a shuffling of the decks, I suppose, within the advice marketplace. The big banks can get out, but they're being replaced by other institutions who are owning those product channels, those insurance channels, those advice channels coming in. So, that doesn't feel like progress to me. It's a different brand name, but it doesn't feel like progress.
And so this failure to sort of formally separate advice from product, how can anyone listening to this, any Australian consumer, understand that they're actually getting advice that has separated the advice from the product? What's the telltale sign?
Unfortunately, they have to dig into the fine print, and that's the disappointing part. They'll have to look at their advisor's financial services guide and ask questions and understand that, because this disclosure doesn't remove the conflict, I think is the issue. But that's where they need to look. They need to understand, who is actually behind the licensing, the regulation of the advice business that they're dealing with.
Mm.
I think the simplified version of how does a consumer feel if they're getting product advice or real advice, how's your advisor getting paid? How does the company you're dealing with make money? Do they make money purely on the fees that a client pays from their own bank account? Do they make money as a percentage? Do they make money because they own the investment company that provides a lot of the investment management and advice? I think the safest, easiest way for a consumer to find out if they're getting real advice or product advice, how's your advice getting paid? And how does the company you're dealing with actually make their money? Because if they're making it from anything other than the fee that you've agreed to pay, then it's probably a level of product advice that's up there somewhere.
Because there'll be firms out there that would be saying, we're not connected to banks, we have our own dealer's license, we have an accounting firm attached,
but they may be using a software program, which a slice of the money that's been collected into the software program for the clients is coming back to that provider of the advice as well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it might be a little bit more, a little bit cleaner than perhaps what the advice received from the bank in the past, but it's still murky because the advisor, the business that you're dealing with is making money on a volume of product, and that just clouds the advice. Good intentions or otherwise, it clouds the advice.
And throw COVID into the mix of the this year, and what has that done? You know, to a month, we've still got advice and product not clearly separated. What's that done to your clients this year?
It's reiterated the importance of having a plan. The plan's almost, you know, having a good plan, knowing what you need to be doing financially has, I suppose, when the proverbial hits the fan, having something to anchor to has probably stood out. It's been that sort of reference point, as opposed to, you know, well, how's this financial, if the relationship is purely how's this financial product going, so the plan's been important.
I suppose there's a big difference between, you know, clients who had come to seek advice during the COVID versus clients who, you know, we've been dealing with for a number of years beforehand. The new clients coming in, irrespective of what they were doing in the past, they often felt, you know, a really strong desire, or, you know, things are chaotic, we have to do something, you know, drastically different to what we have been doing in the past. Whereas the clients we've been working with, you know, who had a clear plan in place, they knew they were going, what they were heading towards, what they needed to do to get there. Now, circumstances had changed in their lives. They couldn't do everything that they wanted to do before, but they had a reference point. They had that anchor point that, you know, this is the path we're on. These are the external influences that are around us. They make some smaller changes than the ones who came in and felt like they needed to do sweeping changes because, you know, the world got upside down.
Yeah.
And I think smaller changes was the right way to go in that, because they have a plan to hang to.
And so currently we've only got about 20% of Australians that are seeking advice, and the majority, vast majority, are not, even though every working Australian is forced to forced into long-term savings. What's got to change then to shift that number around so the 80% of Australians eventually get access to valuable advice?
Well, I would view that the compliance cost and the overall cost has to come down. And if there's, I would propose that there's no longer commissions, there's opt-ins, so there's no longer issues with fees for no service, then some of the huge compliance burden needs to disappear from the industry if more Australians are going to ultimately get advice on
them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think the numerous reviews we've had over the years have resulted in, you know, layer upon layer upon layer of regulation, all done for the right intentions, but you end up with how many different regulators that we're governed by, you know, many, many different layers of rules. So I think, you know, you can take a leaf out of the legal profession, the medical profession, around how to, you know, provide advice that is, you know, it's massively impactful on your client's life. Hey, you have this diagnosis, take this medication. But it's not done with a 100-page report. I think if you want people to get more access, more Australians to get advice from professional advisors, you've got to, first of all, make it easier for people to provide advice so that more people can actually access it. Layers and layers of regulation just increase the cost, it doesn't increase the quality. If we got rid of a lot of the conflicts, as many of the conflicts as you possibly can get, it'll be easier to give advice then.
So do you think advisors are going self-licensed in terms of the actual licensing to the advisor?
Look, it makes sense. Yeah, you know, that again, that's... Having a corporate licensee, whether you own it yourself or whether you sort of use someone else's, it's an extra layer. It's an extra layer of potential conflict in an industry. If the advisor themselves, you know, if I give good advice, I keep staying in business. If I give bad advice, I don't. You know, why does there need to be more layers?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably a step in the right direction, removing a layer.
And to that extent, I think the code of ethics is a really good kind of starting point for the industry. You know, that having starting to look at actually the quality of the advice as opposed to the quality of the document and box tick process. Not the process isn't important, but the quality of advice and the outcomes for the client. So that they code of ethics is a step in the right direction. And then the education standards, I mean, gee, so if you have an industry with high educational standards and a code of ethics that's enforced and conflicts removed, I think that's a great outcome for consumers.
Well, there you go. Travis Martin and Dita Torta from Monument Advisory there next to beautiful Kings Park in West Perth. What did you take? What was your take out from that? One of these is that the future is self-licensing. It's becoming more like doctors, and so you'll be seeing advisors in the future and they themselves will be licensed. Because I make a very good point in that the license structure that we've had for 30 years has really just added another layer of distribution, someone else to clip a ticket along the way. It seems to be supporting a product-based past, and it'll be good for more Australians as advisors become self-licensed. They're not assured. Travis and Dita are pretty sure it will happen. The other key thing is just that perennial, what is the value of a plan when things change so much? And I think I love the way, I think it was Travis mentioned, plans are anchors. And as we drift inevitably amongst particularly what's happening globally and locally, it's important as we drift in these tides and drifts to have an anchor, because without the plan, you can end up anywhere. And yes, they get out of date, but it gives you some, this is what is important to us. I think the other key point I picked up is this, the incoming code of ethics. And whilst not directly from the Banking Royal Commission, it was being championed by the FASIA group before that, it will help, once it's being policed at least, it's not policed yet, it will take time, but it will provide a good platform for this increasing uncertainty we're all facing. But regardless of that, it's obviously working towards an advisory approach where there's no remuneration benefit from what might be entailed in the advice. So regardless of this product, regardless of the hours worked, it's just based purely on the value to you. So there you have it. Dita Torta, Travis Martin from great advisory firm, Monument Advisory, who are undergoing some quite forced renovations, albeit catering for a far less product-based future, building one of the great brands, I think, for comprehensive advice for their clients, small business and wealth accumulator, and growing families. So I'd love to get your feedback, and please never mistake a product or the effort someone might have provided for being of value to you. What is of value to you is of value to you, not what others are doing for you. Great to get your feedback. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Carl. I hope that works. Again, give me some feedback, particularly on the piece of software. Take note.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Advice Podcast with Jim Stackpoole. To access the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to certaintyadvicegroup.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. certaintyadvicegroup.com.